This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Mobile phone addiction is real, and joining me to explain the dangers of it is founder of the American Posture Institute, Dr. Krista Burns. Thanks for joining me, Dr. Burns.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
A lot of people wonder, at what point is my cell phone usage a bit of an addiction? Like, how do you know you've crossed that line?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, there's no specific number that tells us that you have a cell phone addiction. But how we can realize if you have an addiction to your cell phone is the need or the desire to constantly have your phone with you. And even having what's called nomophobia when you don't have your phone. So nomophobia it's a phobia, just like arachnophobia, where we're actually scared if we don't have our cell phone with us. So if you look at that word nomophobia, it's no mobile phone phobia. So if you're to the point where you think, wow, I could never go a day without my cell phone, or I can't imagine not having my phone with me, or what am I going to do without my cell phone? These are all signs and indications that you could have nomophobia or cell phone addiction.
It's kind of funny you said that, because I have all of those symptoms, but I kind of feel like, is this kind of work-related? Because, you know, somebody may send me an email, like, oh, it's at 9 o'clock at night, hey, you need to get this done. Or I'm out to lunch, and somebody calls saying, hey, you need to come back. So is kind of like your work life, like, do you, like, where's the line between work and this is a little bit beyond that?
Yeah, and that's a great question, because some of us do have work where we're on call or we need to stay connected. And so when you need to stay connected and when you need to be on call, there isn't a time and place for the smartphone. However, when there's a time and place for detoxing from your cell phone or spending time with family or quality time with people around you, we also need to recognize those moments as well. So if you have an occupation that requires that you be attached to your phone, recognize that and have it with you, but don't be so obsessed with checking it every minute. So for example, if you don't have a notification, there's no reason to look at your phone. Does that make sense? So many of us, we don't even hear a ding or feel a vibration, but yet we're constantly checking our phone to see if somebody has notified us. So that's to the point of being excessive, when we're constantly overchecking our notifications, even when we don't have notifications coming in. So allowing ourselves to detach from the phone long enough to do other things, even though it may be with us, but we're not overchecking those notifications.
Okay, so me just checking my phone just to check it, I may have a bit of a problem.
Do you find yourself doing that? I know a lot of us do that. We just check because it's almost habit,
yes.
Right?
I mean,
the average person actually checks their phone about 85 times per day. Well, sometimes we don't have 85 notifications in a day, but we have that natural response. Maybe after finishing a conversation, for example, we check our phone. If we sit down to grab coffee, we check our phone. It's not that we were notified to check our phone. It's just that habit loop that we've created. So recognizing that you don't need to always be checking your phone unless, you know, you're getting notifications that you do need for work. So recognizing the difference there.
You know, as an adult, I can sit there and say, hey, man, okay, I shouldn't check my phone. I need to put it down right now. But when it comes to teenagers and just kids in general, they don't have that self-control as of yet. You know, everything has to be immediate. As a parent, what do you think you should do to help your kid out a little bit? Because you don't want to take the phone away. I mean, it's still a communication device, but you don't want them to be accessing it.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because our adolescents and our teenagers are such a unique example, because these are the first generation that are born into a world where it's normal to grow up throughout their entire life having digital technology. You know, some of our adults listening to the show, we didn't have cell phones until later in life, but our new youth, they grow up having a cell phone even from the time that they're even infants or, you know, young adults. So what's interesting about that is, one, we need to lead by example as adults. If we're constantly on our phones, for example, during a movie or during a dinner, then it's going to be normal for them to grab their phones too. So having these digital detox moments with your family where you actually say, listen, it's dinner time, none of us can check our phones. So setting those healthy boundaries that allows us as a family to spend more quality time together without having that digital technology interaction that's breaking up the physical interaction between family members.
Now, one of the things I've noticed with my cousin, her kids, I think he's 15 and the other one is 13. They both have cell phones, and she uses a form of punishment if they did something bad. Hey, I'm taking away your cell phone. So a lot of parents do that. Hey, we're going to just take away your cell phone. You're not going to get it for the rest of the night. So what happens if you use that as a form of punishment, but on the flip side, you also want to say, hey, dinner time is not a place for phones. They're going to think it's punishment.
Stop using it as a punishment, and also stop using it as a form of behavioral control. So on the flip side of what you're saying, what a lot of other parents do is that when the kid is acting up, they say, here, take my phone and go relax. You know, instead of crying in public, they'll just set them in front of an iPad or an iPhone to kind of calm them down. Now, what you're saying is they take it away as a punishment. So the more that we include our digital technology as part of either punishments or behavioral control, the more dependent our society becomes upon them and the more emotion that's attached to our phones. So our phones are just devices. They don't control us. They shouldn't replace our brains. They shouldn't replace our interactions, but yet they have in many cases. And that's because we put such an emotional component onto the smartphone. So if we're smarter how we interact with our smartphones and stop using them as, you know, anger management or using them as a punishment device, then we can start eliminating that emotional component with it. So, and instead of seeing it as a punishment to not use our phones at dinner, maybe making it more of a positive experience. So this is our time together as a family. You know, we take an hour every day, digital detox moment, and just enjoy each other's company.
I like the hour concept, but I'm thinking of those kids again, you know, my little cousins. Taking the phone away for an hour, it's going to be like, you know, a lifetime for them. How can you slowly integrate like a bit of no cell phone usage into their lives?
Such a great idea. I like that. Slow integration. So it doesn't feel like a punishment or it doesn't seem so extreme, right? So you can start by doing things like eliminating cell phone use for 15 minutes when you wake up in the morning. So most of us, we grab our cell phone because it's our alarm, and then we start checking notifications right away. So setting healthy boundaries there can also lead to a cascade of having less dependency upon our cell phone. So 15 minutes when we wake up in the morning, then, you know, slowly going towards not using it for an hour when we wake up in the morning, not using it for 15 minutes before bed, and then, you know, branching out to not using it for an hour before bed. And then same thing with dinner, maybe first 15 minutes of dinner, not having the phone, and then going towards a full dinner without having the cell phones there, or at least placing them face down if the phones are going to be at the table.
Now, I'm sure a lot of people listening are like, well, you know, cell phone addiction, that seems like another buzzword for snowflakes. Is there any proof to it that there is like cell phone addiction, like it leads to other mental issues maybe?
Yeah, and that's a great point. You know, is this just another fad or is there something really to this? Now, what's really interesting is half of the youth in America, half of the adolescents are actually coming out and saying, I think I have an addiction. So this is them self-selecting to say, I think I actually have a problem with this. Now, what's really interesting, when we look at the research, we see that having a cell phone addiction is, in fact, associated with other health compromise. So, for example, it's associated with higher levels of stress and anxiety. It's associated with FOMO, or the fear of missing out. It's associated with more stress and depression. And in addition to that, we're now seeing changes in postural design, like a tech neck posture from looking down at your phone. And also, this, what I consider to be the worst, is called digital dementia. So signs and symptoms of dementia, even in adolescents, due to the overuse of cell phones.
Digital dementia. So they're forgetting things?
Forgetting, but also confusion.
What?
So imagine this. Yeah, isn't that interesting? So it's almost like a computer coma. You know, the adolescent is looking at their computer, and then they stop looking at their computer, and it's almost like a dazed look, a confusion, a computer coma. And it's almost as if they lose touch with the world around them. So they have this confusion, they have a poor memory recall, and lack of disassociation or sensory dissociation within the brain. Now, it's really interesting because these same signs and symptoms are what we see of elderly individuals who also present with dementia. So to give you a couple of examples with poor memory recall, you know, we used to remember phone numbers. So we had parts of our brains that had special sequencing of number sequences so we could remember phone numbers. But now, because of our smartphones, we don't have to. So we just stopped using our brain in that way. Or how about GPS? You know, we used to, before we had GPS or before we had those map quests that we used to print out, we used to actually remember how to get places. Now, we used to, you know, we would be very aware of our surroundings. We would put this together in our brain, spatial awareness of where we are, how to get somewhere, and then we could actually find our way home. One of the most common signs of dementia is you get lost when you go to places, even places that are familiar. Now, because we have this overdependency on our technology, our GPS, to get us there and then get us home, we actually get lost quite often to places we've been multiple times because we're so overdependent upon our cell phones or our smartphones that we're actually presenting with signs and symptoms of dementia. Isn't that interesting?
That is so strange. I don't know. I never used my cell phone like that for like mapping out. So I'm like, that's a bit foreign to me. But the number thing, oh man, I cannot remember any numbers now. There's two phone numbers I remember. I'm afraid to call them because I don't know who they are. but now, like, I don't know my sister's cell phone number. I don't really remember my mother's. That is really strange. I didn't even realize it was happening.
You know, what commonly happens is you're filling out forms, let's say at a doctor's office, and you have to write down your emergency contact. What I see happening all the time is people have to look in their phone to look up the number of their emergency contact, meaning in an emergency, if they didn't have their smartphone, they wouldn't be able to call anybody. So these are just little examples of how we used to use our brains to remember these things, but now we're just dependent upon storing it in our smartphone, and just we don't have to store it in our brains anymore. So what I'm saying is don't get rid of technology, but recognize that we need to be more actively engaged when using our smartphone and not just be so dependent upon it to run our lives for us. You know, another example is spelling. Because our cell phones actually spell for us, half of the time when we go to write something, we can't actually remember how to spell it because we're so used to using autocorrect. So that's just another silly example showing that we're very dependent upon our smartphones, but now it's resulting in changes in how we think and interact within our normal lives.
Well, thank you, Dr. Krista Burns, for coming on. I really appreciate you talking about this. So for those listening, where can they find more information about you?
You can find more information at the AmericanPostureInstitute.com, American Posture Institute, and we'd be happy to provide more tips and tools of how you can properly engage with your technology to prevent tech neck as well as digital dementia.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at MasonVeraPayne.com. That's MasonVeraPayne.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.